This is WHAW 980 on your AM dial, serving the West and Clarksburg areas.
Welcome to WHAW Radio's History of Music. A live show tonight. Now in the studio with me is my old buddy Donnie Dedmore. Donnie, one of the people that actually fired this place up and helped start this show, didn't you, Donnie?
If you get the history of music started, I'm not sure exactly what the date was when we first began, but it originated back in, I believe, 97, wasn't it?
Right around in there. Now, it was 1997, Donnie, when we fired up in 1998. Janie went out and she sold this commercial to this guy. Then she came back and she said, well, he's going to do the production on it. And I thought, well, okay. But then again, I thought, how many people does that here?
Kind of a surprise to you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, because there's not very many people that does their own production on their commercials. And so we got the commercial, and it was in, put it up on the air, and it was a good commercial. Well, what do you think about that, Donnie? How many people does that?
I don't know of anybody, right offhand.
Well, my guest tonight does. Now, the guest tonight is a musician that has transplanted, became a West Virginian. Now, wasn't born and reared a redneck hillbilly, but has made his way down here and brought with him some musical talent. How about you introduce him?
He came here back in 1993. I just recently met him at the home of Jim Stroshine. The tall mailman, the talented keyboard man and singer. We had a session, the three of us, and I was really impressed by this gentleman's fine guitar playing, and I knew right then we had to have him on the History of Music program here as soon as he had time to appear on a Saturday, and I'm delighted that he is with us tonight to play for you live guitar. And
Bill Stomers. Now, is that a name that you don't find in West Virginia? Welcome, Bill.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Donnie came to me last night. We had just a little bit of a cancellation, and of course, there's no problem with WHAW, but we don't like to run backlog stuff. Donnie, he was excited when he came in. He said, man, I had such a good time playing the other night. And he began to tell me about it, and my mind began clicking. And lo and behold, you're here, and we're really grateful that you are. Now, nobody else knows what you can do. We've already heard it. How about you picking something out on that nylon string guitar live?
Okay, we'll try something to get started here.
Song.
Well, actually, that's a work in progress. That's something that I wrote about a year ago, and it's an original.
Yourself? Oh, that's beautiful.
Thank you. It's sort of a work in progress. I do have some other work to do before it's completed, but I have a lot of little bits and pieces and snippets of music that I enjoy playing, usually working on my own, and that's still progressing a little bit.
Well, that's wonderful that you're talented at, to create your own music like that, original music, and it really sounds so beautiful.
Well, thank you much.
I like that.
Well, Bill, where do you hail from? How did you get here? Tell us all these sort of details. There's a lot of people have moved in, and now we find that some of these people, like yourself, are just oozing with talent. Where did you come
from? Well, thank you. My wife and I actually moved down here in 93 to the Lewis County area from a place called Hilton, New York, near Rochester, New York. Hilton was famous for the world's largest apple pie. But we lived there for 25 years, and we're finally looking for a place maybe to retire to. The winters down here are shorter. Sometimes they're not quite as nasty as up north. Recently we saw that Buffalo was in the news. Buffalo is about 65 miles west of Hilton, and they certainly got hammered this past year. We have less traffic down here. Our dollar seems to go a little bit further. And we just fell in love with the Lewis County area and Stonewall Jackson Lake, and bought some land, some acreage, and built a house here in 1994. It's changed quite a bit since then, because when we first came down, there was no Walmart, there was no Quality Farm and Fleet, there was the movie theater, and the Kroger's was a Giant Eagle. So we've certainly seen a lot of changes in the eight years we've been here.
How did you get here? I mean, what brought you? Did you just fall upon Central West Virginia?
Well, we actually did a very detailed search. My wife and I had picked up a book called The Best Places to Retire To, and not having children, we didn't have any concern about the location of schools. The education was not a concern, and we wanted a milder winter, but still where the seasons change. Didn't really care for Florida or Georgia. Further south, and we just sort of liked the area, and decided that we want to live down here. Didn't know a soul down here, and found it took a lot longer to find the ideal property site than we had originally anticipated. It took a lot of looking. In fact, I think at last count we wound up looking at over 200 parcels of land before we built our house north of Walkersville here in 94.
Pick another tune, and then we're going to ask you some more questions.
Song written by Antonio Carlos Jobim called Insensitive. Recently it appeared also in a movie called Lost Highway, and heard that and picked out some of the chords, which are fairly involved, and that's a bit of it anyway.
Hey, Don, I've seen you over a saber in that, like it was a piece of good food.
Oh, yes, that melody was familiar, and I heard it, and I was trying to remember the title of the song, and he just told us.
I'm going to move some mics around just a little bit here, because I've got him over mic and you under mic. Let's see how that goes right there with that. But name your place of business. I didn't do that, but you're just at the foot of the hill.
Well, we're
will know who you are now.
We're about a 7-iron from the radio station here. In fact, I can almost see Garten Plaza from here. My wife and I own Weston Laundry and Dry Cleaning, the self-service laundry. And bought that in October of 96, so we are just celebrated our fifth year anniversary, and are now in our sixth year and having fun with it. We've still got some work to do, but we've added some new equipment and made some changes. Hopefully we've improved the facilities from what they were when we first bought the place, and made a lot of nice friends down here. We have a lot of customers we know by name, and it's been fun.
And for those of you that don't know, you know him, you can stop in and say, hey. But an interesting thing about him, Donnie, and you was telling me this last night, there's a movie out there in the big world called The Thing We Do. And Tom Hanks' movie, are you all familiar with that? The Thing We Do. Now, we come to find out, you are a member of a band that was actually, the movie was actually about.
Well, it's kind of strange because I was with actually two different bands back in the early 60s in Erie, Pennsylvania. I was at that time attending Gannon College and was invited to join a band called The Fabulous Intruders. And we were certainly fabulous, a group of five people, all Gannon students. I was invited to join them as a guitar player. And we played fraternity parties on weekends in Erie. We played at Allegheny College fraternities in nearby Meadville, Pennsylvania. And it was a lot of fun. The lead singer was quite remarkable, a fellow by the name of Dave Cunningham, who sounded just like Eric Burdon of the Animals, the old tune, The House of the Rising Sun. And we did a lot of the Animals tunes and got a pretty good response on them. This was 1965, around the Erie... Erie area, and we sometimes even got into Ohio.
Was it a hot band then?
We were one of the top bands. We made pretty good money there by you know, the standards from the 60s.
And off of this collectible album, I can see that it was then you could even part your hair.
That's right. I had now I've got hair below the chin, and there I had it above the chin.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Times do change.
But, well, now, you was the lead guitar player. What did you do there?
Well, I started off with the band called the Fabulous Intruders, and then in early 1966, a rival band called the RK4 was losing a guitar player, Tom Brocky, to college. He was going to attend a prestigious college out of state, and they really desperately needed a lead guitar player who could learn a lot of their material quickly, and... two of the fellows who were doing most of the original material, who were writing, had planned to record at a major studio. And so they had scheduled, and they were losing their guitar player, and they invited me to, I guess with promises of fame and fortune, they kind of snared me and invited me to join the RK4. So I left the Intruders. It was a friendly parting of ways, and... that wasn't a problem, but I wound up being actually the lead guitar player for the RK4.
Now, what kind of instrument was you playing then?
Well, at that time I had a Fender Jaguar guitar, and which I later changed to a Fender Telecaster, and which I still have, 1965 Telecaster.
So if I put this on, and I've got the RK4. I've got their CD here.
Yep.
Now, if I put on number 7, who is playing the lead guitar on it?
Well, that's a real old one. Don't put on number 7.
Why
don't you put on, let's see. Put on number 6.
All right.
This is When I Was Younger. It was a song written by Skip Niebauer and Dave Mosello. One of my favorite tunes. I mean, I think this is as good as anything the Beatles ever did. And here I'm playing this was recorded in 66, playing a Fender Jaguar. And it's a slow tune, but it's nice. Give it a listen.
When I was younger, I would dream about the day when I would
There we are. Now, Donnie, what do you say? There is a band that a...
The RK4.
How did it come about?
First, I want to say that we're back, and our special guest this evening on the history of the history of music is Vilas Stomer. And Vilas has played a couple, three songs for us live here in the studio, and what we just heard was the CD from the... RK4. We're going to talk about that now. That particular number, that is called...
This was when I was younger. The lead vocalist was actually a friend of the band who was not a permanent fixture, a fellow by the name of Bill Adliff, who had a terrific voice, and he would play on various jobs with us, fraternity parties and so on, but was not a regular member of the band, but certainly a super singer. And this is the four people in the band plus Bill Adliff, so it should be really the RK5 on that particular cut.
How did it become a movie?
Well,
how did they become the subject of that movie?
This was a big surprise. In fact, I had sort of learned about this after I had seen my my photograph on the front page of the Erie, Pennsylvania newspaper entertainment section.
Okay, I'm going to go to that. You just keep talking, and I'm going to...
And in 1996, a movie came out called That Thing You Do. Now, this has been a few years ago, but Tom Hanks wrote that and also appeared in it. And it was a story about a band from Erie, Pennsylvania from the 60s that nearly got famous. But what we found remarkable were the parallels between the two bands that I had been in. The instruments were the same. I was at that time using a Fender Jaguar guitar. Our bass player at that time, John St. Pierre, always wore sunglasses, and the fellow in the movie always wore sunglasses. It was bizarre. It was of course, Erie, Pennsylvania got excited about that, and they ran a feature article, and including the photograph of myself and the other three members of the RK4. And I don't really understand the full story, but apparently Tom Hanks was in Erie at that time and was researching information to do a movie about this band of the 60s, and everybody sort of claimed that was their band, and there were certainly other bands in the Erie area, but
Well, now, whose father wouldn't let you practice? That's kind of funny, because explain that one.
Well, I think that may refer to another band. I'm not sure what your question is exactly.
Well, it said that in the paper here, it says, when Mom and Pop refused to park the car curbside so the aspiring musicians could practice in the garage,
right,
living room, or vacant flats.
Right, this was we were practicing actually at Skip Niebauer's house there, and they threw us out of the basement, forced us into the garage because we were making too much noise. But it's interesting, the attention that particular film gave the old bands. Now, remember, this is 30, 35 years ago, and out of this, something very surprising happened. I got a call from a fellow by the name of John St. Pierre, who was the bass player in the first band I was with, the Intruders. And so here I get a phone call 30 years later from somebody that I haven't heard from in that period of time. And he says, hey, we're getting the band together, and we're going to be playing a reunion concert in conjunction with the Gannon College, their 30th reunion. And I thought, well, this is kind of interesting. Yeah, count me in. So we rehearsed at the Gannon Music Studios. This is now Gannon University. In fact, remember the fellows there, the five people are now moved out of Erie, and one fellow lives in Philadelphia, another fellow lives in Meadville, Pennsylvania. We're here in West Virginia, so it took a little bit of doing to orchestrate this. But we had four or five different rehearsals over a period of time, and then played at the college reunion on August 2nd of 1997. We had promoted that. And we had, in fact, had posters up around Erie and around the college and so on. Had a pretty good turnout, actually. One sad note is the fellow who was the leader of the band, shortly after our performance in 97, was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. And he passed away just this last fall. It was rather sad at the funeral. And I still get choked up about it. He was a good friend.
The paper done the story, and then that movie was a hit. I know you've seen the movie. How did that make you feel as you went to that movie?
Well, it was bizarre because, of course, the movie was actually a love story that had very little to do with what was going on. But what we found interesting is that they had everything really very accurate, including the local beer. Everybody had the local Kohler beer at that time, which was brewed by the Erie Brewing Company, and I happened to have worked there while going to college for a couple of summers. So they had a lot of things that were very accurate, even though most of the filming was done out in a studio in California, to a set that was built to look like Erie of the 60s. But a lot of work goes into that, and it was quite accurate to see the cars of the 60s, and even the store signs were accurate. So it was fun to see the movie.
And the title of that movie again?
That Thing You Do. You can
That Thing You Do.
Rent it at your local video rental place.
Stars Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, and I forget the name of the actors, but it was quite well done and very entertaining. So I guess loosely based on an Erie band, but of course it's all fiction. So
Donnie, we've let him talk long enough, haven't we?
I think we should hear
about that movie.
I think we should hear him play again live here in the studio.
Got a lovely, nice,
beautiful
guitar.
Beautiful guitar.
Yep.
From Phil Oakes, who was a singer in the 60s along with Bob Dylan, and I think I was influenced by Peter, Paul, and Mary and Dylan and Phil Oakes and some of the others. That's a little bit of my interpretation of that.
What about Gordon Lightfoot?
I've enjoyed his music, but really haven't...
The Beatles were an influence on you, too. The early...
Right. I actually started guitar quite late. By today's standards, I started playing in at the age of 18 as a sophomore in college. I had not play guitar. I tried a couple of times, and usually the problem is that the instruments are such poor quality that a beginner has a lot of trouble. And actually, what you need to do is, if somebody is first starting out, you need to buy them a $2,000 Martin or Gibson. Obviously, now, that's not practical. But.
Yes, and when you actually started out playing, were you playing this type of guitar, the nylon string classical type instrument?
No, I bought a flat-top steel string guitar in Meadville, Pennsylvania for $15, and I bought a chord book, and I tried playing, and my fingers were bleeding. The strings were so high, I said, this is just impossible. How do these people do it? And I kind of gave up on that, but several months later, decided to buy a K archtop acoustic. I think that was like $75, so that was a big step up from 15 to 75. And I found, hey, I can play this. You know, I can learn these chords. And then I went on and decided, well, I want to really buy something that's good quality that I can become more proficient at, and bought a Fender Jaguar guitar, brand new and top of the line. And after a few weeks of getting better and better and better, the fellow who owned the large music store in Erie, Pennsylvania, a fellow by the name of Harry Osiki, would see me come in, and I'd buy strings, and I'd be talking with the people and so on. He says, hey, I need a teacher. Why don't you come in here and teach guitar? And suddenly a lump went to my throat. I said, what, me? I've only been playing like 4 months. I said, sure, I'll teach guitar. What do I got to do? So. He gave me a 5-volume set of the Alfred's Guitar Course. He says, learn this and come in next week. So here, as I leave the store, it's like, what have I done, you know? I get a week to learn 2 years of lessons. It's like being dropped in the deep end of a swimming pool, you know? But I needed the work. At that time, I was playing the fraternity jobs in the evening, nights rather. And so I took the job, and I studied, and I figured it out, and now I had a steady part-time job, about 4 hours a day in the afternoons, and the individual students, so there were kids, and there were young people and older people, and I'll tell you, if you want to learn how to play music, get a job as a teacher before you know anything, and you're going to catch on real quick.
So, okay, at that time, who was the most influential person or group? When you were learning, who influenced you the most?
I think probably the folk music, Peter, Paul, and Mary. I got all of their records. A lot of that was simple. You had basically two guitars and an upright bass and three voices, Mary Travers and then the two male voices. And that sort of a transition at that time went to some of the more rock and roll. I remember Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. The first big hit they had was Sherry, a simple tune written by Bob Gaudio and Bob Crewe. I followed a lot of what the Four Seasons had done, and Charles Colello was the producer, and they went on actually to produce, I think, one of the best vinyl albums, which is now reissued on CD, called American Resurrection Life Gazette. This was at the time, now a lot later, that the Beatles had come out with Sgt. Pepper, and it's a tremendous album, and it just fell flat on its face. It just went nowhere and then sort of stopped their career because it was not the Four Seasons. But brilliant arrangements, very little guitar. It's a great album, and I listen to it frequently. I really enjoy it. Another influence was Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys. Brian Wilson, of course, was recently, or I should back up here and say that there was a survey among noted musicians asking them who is their favorite, who do they feel is the best album of all time in pop music? And you know what the answer was? Pet Sounds, which was written entirely by Brian Wilson, and even though the Beach Boys' name is on it, they really had very little to do with it except some backup vocals. Good Vibrations is on that, and God Only Knows, and just a terrific album.
But now, Donnie, you notice this. Now, everything that he said doesn't lead us up to that nylon string guitar yet.
You mentioned Villis, Peter, Paul, and Mary being an influence on you, and I believe I heard you play a song by Peter, Paul, and Mary that I like very much. Could you play some of that, or...
Well, there was one particular tune that they had done, and I don't know how well I'm going to do on that here, but there's a tune that they had done that's called A Soul In, and I'm going to see if I can play a little bit of that.
Okay.
I stand corrected.
Now, one thing that's interesting about that, when I first heard that song, I thought, now this is really clever. How are they doing that? And I listened to it and I played the now this was at the time when most people didn't have tape recorders. You just lift the needle and go back. And I learned the song over several weeks and later learned that was actually two guitars playing. Paul Stuckey was playing and Peter Yarrow was... I'm rather proud to figure that out a long time ago.
You learned to play both parts yourself, the solo.
I learned to do them simultaneously, and that was a little tricky, little tricky thing to do here.
You play a lot like the lead guitar player for Jim Croce. You remember that guy that just runs those marvelous fills behind that actually made Jim Croce's music Jim Croce's.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I've been playing a lot of nylon string, although I still enjoy playing electric, and the finger style really came later. I think part of it is the fact that I usually pick up the guitar at home and play for a few minutes every day, just as a kind of a therapeutic thing. You fellas, both being musicians, realize that you have to keep your hand in it just to keep your sanity, I guess. But I think part of it is that it's easier to pick up rather than plugging in an amplifier and connecting everything up, although I do have that as well. But I enjoy playing really all sorts of different guitars. And you had queued up there, if I can interrupt you for a moment here, that track 18 off of the CD Demotion. And I'd like to maybe play it, and then I can tell you a little bit about how that came to be.
Hey, that sounds good. We're going to go back to the RK4, and this is the group that had, well, it's kind of the model for that thing you do. Here they are.
Talking seems they all agree.
Okay, we're back live in the studio on the History of Music, and song you just heard was by a band, the RK4, and Vela Stelmer, our special guest tonight, he was a member of that band back in what year?
1966 through 1967. That tune, Demotion, was a very difficult one. In fact, that was recorded in Cleveland, Ohio, at a place called Ken Hammond's Cleveland Recording Studio. And at that time, that actually was a fairly large studio. The fellow that ran that, Ken Hammond, also had recorded the Grand Funk Railroad to some of their tunes. Most listeners of are familiar with that name. Deep Purple was another band that recorded two albums there, and we recorded three songs there in 1967. In fact, that particular tune, Demotion, was written by the two fellows in the band that did the writing. And I played lead guitar through a distortion pedal called a Black Finger there, using my Telecaster guitar. And I also overdubbed a part there on a recorder. A recorder is a flute-like instrument. It's a simple woodwind instrument. The piano player, Dave, also had overdubbed a melodica. And then, of course, background vocals and so on. It was kind of an interesting tune. The intro to that was a sound effect, a crowd at a boxing match in New York City, and you'd have to listen to the lyrics for it to all make sense. But it's kind of an interesting tune.
It had the sound of Grand Funk Railroad and Deep Purple and of that time period of 68, 69, 67.
Part of that also was the fact that when we first walked in there, we were using a little Vox organ, or Dave was using the Vox organ. We walk in, we see this big Hammond B3 there in the corner.
With the Leslie cabinets
and
all,
the big 122R Leslie, and that, of course, was part of the sound at that time as well. It's kind of a shame that they stopped making the B3. I came to own one years later and had one in my living room up in New York State.
Well, that took up everything in your living room, then.
Well, we had a big living room, though. We had a rather large place.
Well, now, what happened when you turned them big Leslie cabinet speakers on and they got to twirling real good?
Oh, it shook.
What did the neighbors say?
Shook the silverware. We lived out in the country, and we didn't really have a problem where we were very close to anybody.
Lucky, then, yeah.
So we didn't have a problem.
Now, the Leslie amp, they had a what they call a rotating sound for a while there in the Leslie amps.
The Leslie actually came up independent of the Hammond design, and you're right, Donnie, the speaker actually was rotating, and of course as you increase the speed of the speaker you have something called the Doppler effect. It's like when a train is approaching, you hear the frequency get higher, and then as the train goes away it gets lower because the speed of the movement is added to the vibration of the sound. So it gives kind of an interesting effect, and that's duplicated electronically today very accurately. There are many little gadgets that RotoVibe is one, and in fact on the keyboard synthesizer that I have, I can duplicate a Leslie Hammond sound almost to where you can't tell the difference. I said almost, but it's close. It's pretty close.
Yes, as I recall, the country guitarist Jerry Reed, back at that time in the era, you know, he started getting interested in the nylon string guitar, and he amplified it, I believe, through some of that Leslie equipment that we were talking about, had the rotating sound.
Yeah, you can mic a guitar through that, or even put an electric guitar through it, as well as the Hammond organ, but that provided a very full sound, and that was actually only on two of the tunes here. One that we haven't heard yet, Seems to Be the Thing, and Demotion as well. But
where would you like to go to, Dustin? Shall we go to this tape?
Yeah, I've got a few things that, you know, I haven't really been involved in music in recent years. The last I have been to some extent. In fact, the last band that I actually played with was a couple of years ago with two very nice fellas, Leonard and Jim Stolniker. They had invited me to join their band about 2 years ago, and we played for a few weeks some of the local, what do you call them, beer joints?
Yeah, that's what we call them.
Okay, so we had a good time with that. They're very good at what they do. They do some awfully good bluegrass. Leonard was sick for a while there, and I'm happy to hear that he's doing real well. But that was fun, and I've also met a number of musicians in the area here since I've been down here. My wife and I have been down here. Of course, Jim Stroshine, Donnie mentioned, a very talented singer and keyboard player, the Singing Mailman. In fact, I met him 8 years ago at the first Christmas free Christmas dinner that my wife and I have volunteered and have worked at. I believe this was the eighth or ninth one we just did here a while ago. But Jim had done some original music and some Christmas carols, and we got to be friends. There's another young lady in the area who's now in Elkins, a young lady by the name of Carrie Rice, who is a terrific singer and songwriter. I don't know if she's doing anything. I've kind of lost contact with her. A bass player by the name of Ransel Blake, a bass and guitar player who works over at the Domino's. Got a chance to play with him and share some ideas. And also a guitar player and singer by the name of Jack Smith, who lives up on the hill there on the Georgetown Road. I had a chance to get together with him, do some music, and we also get together and play some golf a little bit. Looking forward to the weather getting warmer. It might even happen on Monday here.
She's kind of well-versed with the local musician crowd here.
Well, I've met a few people. Don't have time to do it on a full-time basis. There aren't that many places to play, and I'm really not interested in getting back to playing on a regular basis. You know, I've been there, done that years ago, and it does take time for rehearsal, and it's also hard to find everybody that's on the same wavelength. I mean, there's a lot of good music out there. There's some things that that I like that somebody else might not, and you know, it's tough to get a band together where everybody has sort of a common ground.
Sure.
So,
well, tell us about Hey, What's Your Name?
Well, this is a tune that I've been working on for the last couple of months. In fact, this is strictly guitar. This is actually done on an amplified classic nylon string. This is a relatively short piece. It's one track of five tracks, and the vocals are not completed, but the title actually just came to me about a week ago. And so I've got probably 40% of the lyrics done, and this is something I'm pretty happy with so far. Strictly just guitar.
Composition by our guest this evening, recorded on CD there. A cut titled Hey, What's Your Name, composed by our special guest this evening, on the history of music, Vilas Stomers. And Vilas, tell us about that song you composed that we just listened to.
Well, it's interesting. Songwriting with some people starts with lyrics. With me, it starts with a melody, and then I fit the chords to it. And it really, it's kind of hard to explain how you write a song. It sort of comes to you in your head, and then you try it either on guitar or on keyboard. I might mention that I started playing piano as a little kid, and so piano, I guess, is probably my main instrument. And in this day and age now, the keyboards and the synthesizers have become so sophisticated that you can have an actual true piano sound or organ or chorus or a squawking chicken, if you like. It's rather remarkable. And so I've done a few things that originals with keyboard. In fact, the next one here I call Paradise in C. It's sort of like, I guess, reminiscent of a movie theme. And there's no guitar on this. This is a small excerpt from Paradise in C, original composition.
We're sitting here in the studio, we're talking about Paradise in C. What an unusual piece. That is Paradise in C.
You got it. That was done on five tracks on a Kurzweil K2000, sitting at my computer, my Power Mac, using a piece of software called Mark of the Unicorns Performer. And that's all computer magic, basically, and you can just add as many tracks as you want. In fact, the Kurzweil K2000 and now the replacement 2500 is used in Hollywood by many of the composers that do themes for the motion picture industry. So
yeah, well, it's all lie anymore.
Well, pretty much
still.
But you still, somebody's got to be punching those notes in.
And they've got to know what notes to punch in.
No, I shouldn't say punching. I mean, I was actually playing an organ-type keyboard.
Oh, it is?
And
okay.
So, that isn't contrived.
That floppy.
So, that actually goes on to a hard drive on the computer initially. So it's recording that as what they call MIDI information. I'm actually playing a keyboard and piano and so on and so forth. In fact, the last tune on this, you'll hear piano. So it isn't really cheating in that respect. It does require someone who knows how to play the piano.
Like Jim Scherchon, that's what he does.
Exactly.
He stacks till it becomes an orchestra.
That's right. Yeah, and he's gotten really good at it in his little home studio. So a lot of the folks know who he is.
We've got another song coming up. Tell us about Carlos.
Well, When you hear that, you'll know who Carlos I'm referring to, and it's a very popular musician, and I worked very hard to try to duplicate his guitar sound, which is unique, and I think I got pretty close.
Now, how did you do this?
Well, basically some effects boxes. This is plugged in. We'll give it a listen, then maybe I'll talk a little bit about it.
Okay, here it comes. Carlos. Who is that guy, Donnie? Okay, we're back, and Donnie, now who is Carlos?
Carlos Santana. I couldn't come up with that last name, Santana.
Oh, boy, now there's one of those good guitar players in bands.
Yes, I've heard him play on television a number of times, and he plays, I was trying to think of the name of the guitar he endorsed.
He plays actually several different guitars, but he plays a Paul Reed Smith, which is sort of a cross between a Fender and a Gibson. And I was trying to duplicate that sound. I did that.
Now, you did that. You recorded that in the studio. Now, you composed that particular number yourself.
Right. This is a fairly simple 2-3 chord thing.
And you played the keyboard as well as the guitar and
right.
In that.
The keyboard was basically a Hammond organ sound on one track, and then a piano sound on another track, and then drums also were done on the Kurzweil, and they're sampled drums, which means that they've recorded real drum sounds on the keyboard, and then I added guitar to that. This was done at my home studio. The guitar is a Fender Stratocaster through two unique pedals. One is an MXR Dynacomp, which is no longer available, and the other pedal is something called the Ibanez TS-9 Tube Screamer. TS-9 as opposed to the TS-8. It's something that is very hard to find. They were made in the 70s, and that's one way of getting that characteristic little bit of fuzz, but very long sustain. And so I was happy that I was able to pull that off.
Well, Donnie, we've got to listen to one more song. We've got to have this guy back. His name is Bill Stomers. He owns the laundromat downtown at Garden Plaza. Stop in and see. Will you come back? And we're not finished. We just simply have got to do this again and continue. But
I'd
tell us
delighted.
About this last song.
This song is called Waterfall, and it starts off again. Everything is done on the keyboard. It's not totally finished yet, and there's some changes to be made, but it's a favorite of mine. And the piano sound, again, is on the Kurzweil. It sounds very real. And give it a listen. I think you'll like it.
Here it is. Here is Bill Stanley.
Song, beautiful song, Waterfall. That was composed and played by our special guest on the history of music from WHAW Live this evening, Velas Stalmers. And Velas, it's really been a pleasure having you here performing live for us this evening. And we've also been listening to the CDs that you recorded, that particular number, Waterfall, title you composed.
Right, well, thanks very much. I enjoyed being here. And
will you come back?
I'll come back maybe in the spring when I have some time and maybe some new material. I've had a chance to finish some original compositions that you might be interested in hearing.
Now, I've got to know something now. How come there's $100 plus on your glasses?
Well, I have different grades of reading glasses. This is not $100, but this is 1.00 diopter. and you weren't supposed to see this. You know, hey, this isn't TV. Yeah. This is radio.
Donnie, I want you to get some of them on your glasses. Get that.
Now, I know. Now,
no, I've got a pair that's 125 and 150. This is for reading the computer screen or for.
That's what I need. That's what I need. Open up a whole new world for me.
See you guys later.
This is WHAW 980 on your AM dial, serving the West and Clarksburg areas.